Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hey, Circle members, welcome to your first bonus episode for January 2022. In this episode, I want to share about a process called somatic tracking, and I want to share how I organically started doing this process on my own and then learned that it's actually a real thing. It's not something I just made up, even though the book that describes it didn't come out until 2021. I was practicing somatic tracking in 2019 and 2020. I just didn't call it that. I called it being with the sensations of my body. And somatic tracking is something that can be used for chronic pain, anxiety, and overall body sensations. If you feel like you're disconnected from your body and always retreating up into your head to think about your feelings, to think about your problems, to think about your nervous system, but you're not actually in the body, working with the body, focusing on the body, being in your body, then this is the episode for you. So back in 2019, after my suicide attempt and after I spent 5 days in the hospital and I got out and I was on a cocktail of psych meds, you guys know my story, I promised myself that I was going to figure out whatever it was that needed to be healed that caused me to get as sick as I was. Obviously, I had some very real physical issues to take care of. I needed pelvic floor physical therapy for pelvic floor dysfunction, and I needed to have a little operation on some varicose veins that were inside my pelvis for a condition called pelvic congestion syndrome. So my first, I guess, piece of advice is when you're dealing with being in your body and you have some concerning symptoms, don't be afraid to take care of your physical body. I mean, your physical body is manifesting symptoms. Take care of it. Take care of it. I don't want you to do breath work when what you need is pelvic floor physical therapy. You know, I want you to take care of your body. Your body deserves to be taken care of. So I had to get some very real physical medical issues sorted out first. But even once those were sorted out, I had to return to the truth that those medical issues, while they contributed to my extreme anxiety and insomnia and panic, they were not the root cause of my extreme anxiety, insomnia, and panic attacks. So resolving them certainly could take some water out of the bucket, but it didn't empty the entire bucket. And what I mean by bucket is my nervous system. So my nervous system was maxed out. It was at full capacity. It had been catching the leaks of my trauma, of my childhood, of religion, of my suppressed sexuality, of all the codependency and fawning and people-pleasing and perfectionism of my whole life. My nervous system was the bucket that was holding all of those things. And at some point, probably in my mid to late 20s, I'm pretty sure my nervous system bucket hit capacity. And then it just continued to overflow. And then in late 2018 and 2019 is when it was very, very, very apparent that I was in some real trouble and I needed some, you know, serious help, which I got through hospitalization and psychiatric meds. But I also had to remind myself that I had lived for 35 years without needing psych meds. And so I believed that it would be possible to live without them again. And sure enough, it was. I just needed to work on my nervous system. But while I was working on my nervous system, I discovered this you know, very popular concept of being in your body, getting out of your head and being in your body. And at first I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, of course I'm in my body. I eat, I sleep, I go to the bathroom, I feel pain. Like, of course I'm in my body. What I didn't understand though is that I had gotten so used to retreating up into my head and thinking about my feelings that I wasn't actually feeling my feelings. Or I was so in my head about the sensations in my body, like pain or pelvic pain or digestive issues or whatever, that instead of feeling those sensations and symptoms in my body, I was retreating into my head and I was thinking about them, which the thinking about them isn't just like, I wonder what this means. For me, it was ruminating, catastrophizing, going down Google rabbit holes, trying to diagnose myself, trying to reassure myself that I didn't have cancer or some other, you know, serious disease. That's what it looked like to be in my head. Miserable, miserable place. Do not recommend. So after I got out of the hospital and I got some of the physical pelvic issues taken care of, then I was working with my body again. And I was feeling the feelings of anxiety, which for me feel like a knot in my throat that kind of radiates down into my chest and feels like heart palpitations or flutters. And then that kind of radiates down into a nauseous or burning feeling in my solar plexus. And there's a lot of radiation, like movement and radiating of sensation in the throat, heart, and solar plexus areas of my body when I experienced anxiety. That's how I knew I was feeling anxious. So I did everything that I could to avoid feeling that. I would zone out on my phone or zone out on Netflix. I tried smoking so much weed. You can't even believe how much weed I smoked in 2018. I tried distracting myself from it. I tried picking fights with my partner, thinking that our relationship was the source of it and that if I could just fix him and get him to do what I wanted him to do, that that would make it go away. I was trying to control it by changing my diet and taking a bunch of supplements and doing different protocols with different practitioners. You know, all the things. I'm sure you've done all or most of those things as well to try to fix what you're feeling rather than feeling what you're feeling. And clearly it did not work for me. So I decided, all right, distracting myself, supplement protocols, restrictive diets, picking fights with my partner, picking fights with my kids, zoning out on Netflix. None of this is actually helping me. So it's insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So instead of distracting myself from all of this, I'm going to actually just be with it. I'm going to feel it. So when I would feel the tightness in my throat and the flutters in my chest and the radiating nausea, hotness in my solar plexus, that just like miserable, miserable feeling of anxiety, I would come down to my office, close the door, sit on the couch or lay on the floor, and I would literally just close my eyes and I would put all of my focus on the sensations. And I would actually say to myself, both out loud and in my head, okay, body, if this is what we're doing today, then I'm gonna feel it. I'm gonna fucking feel it. If we're gonna have tightness in the throat and flutters in the heart and radiating heat in the solar plexus, I'm just gonna sit here and I'm gonna fucking feel it. And I would put all of my focus on those sensations. And I would really tune into those sensations, because the truth was that the reason I was retreating into my head and Googling the sensations and trying to pick a fight with my partner to distract me from the sensation or to think that that was fixing it, or to change my diet and do new supplements to try to control the sensation, all of that was now off the table. The only thing left was to be with it, to feel it without trying to get my body to do something different. It was an act of acknowledging what I was feeling in that moment, being with what I was feeling in that moment, even though it was so uncomfortable and I had spent most of my life trying to avoid this feeling, and then accepting that, okay, this is how I feel. I don't know why I feel this way, I probably don't have cancer, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I've tried picking a fight with my partner. I've tried managing this with diet and supplements. None of that is working. So I'm going to try something really revolutionary. I'm just going to sit with this. I'm just going to sit in this discomfort, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to feel it until I'm not afraid of it anymore. And fear is what was causing me to do all the distraction and micromanaging and controlling and avoidance to begin with. It was fear of the feeling of anxiety. It's having anxiety about your anxiety. Who can relate to that, right? So I was just determined, I'm not going to be afraid of this anymore. Like, fear is what drove me to a suicide attempt. Fear is what got me to the hospital and what got me on a cocktail of psych meds. And what, you know, fear was the driving force behind everything that was not fruitful or really serving a purpose in my life that was healthy for me. And so the opposite of that was not fearing it anymore. And therefore not going down all the rabbit holes and not trying to micromanage and control and not trying to pick fights with my partner and not complaining all the time and not feeling like a victim of it, all because I was afraid of it. So remove the fear, right? Remove the fear. That was the common thing in the equation, was the fear. So I would come to my office, close the door, and I would be with those sensations. And I would, I mean, literally, if you picture, I know this is going to sound really silly, but do you remember, if you were a kid in the 90s, you probably watched a show called The Magic School Bus. If you're not familiar with The Magic School Bus, you should definitely just look it up on YouTube. The episodes are really short, but basically what it is there's this crazy harebrained, funny teacher named Miss Frizzle. And she is unlike any other teacher any of us have ever had, because instead of standing in front of the classroom and writing things on a chalkboard and teaching that way, she had this magic school bus. And so if she was going to teach the kids about the digestive system, for example, she would take them on a field trip into a digestive system. So she would load the kids up on the magic school bus, and the magic school bus had this ability to transform and change its size, and it could be as small or as big as it needed to be, and it could turn into a submarine, or it could turn into an airplane, or it could turn into a boat, or whatever it needed to turn into, and go inside of the person's body through their mouth, down their esophagus, into their stomach. And you, like, the magic school bus was like in the stomach with the food that was digesting and all the stomach acid, and then down into the intestines. And I don't believe that they got as graphic as to show it coming out the other end, but that was how Miss Frizzle taught her kids. It was actually by going in and having immersion in the experience that they were learning about. So that is actually what I pictured whenever I would sit with the feelings of anxiety. I would like almost pretend that I was on the magic school bus, and that the magic school bus went into my body and was like driving around inside the tightness in my throat, inside the flutters in my heart, and inside the hot, nauseous feeling in my solar plexus, and that it was exploring and being curious and learning about those environments, those parts of my body. And I would do this sometimes multiple times a day. Sometimes I could go several days and not need to do it, and then I would feel the sensations again, and I would feel that fear creeping up, and there would be all the what ifs. What if this sensation means I'm about to have another panic attack? What if this means that I'm not sleeping tonight? What if this means that the insomnia is coming back? What if this means I am not on the right medication? Like, all of that was still there, but I had to make the conscious choice to feel it anyway without fear. And the way that I did that was by pretending that I was on the magic school bus going into my own body and exploring around with curiosity, with no fear, to teach myself that these sensations were not going to kill me and they were not going to hurt me in any way, and that there was nothing to be afraid of. And I was just feeling the sensations, and sometimes feeling the sensations of my body, the volume of the sensation would be turned down. Sometimes just taking a moment to pause and feel what my body was feeling was enough to turn the sensation down so that it wasn't quite as scary. Sometimes, though, being in my body and feeling the sensations of my body actually turned the volume up and the sensations would get worse. Sometimes being in my body, feeling those feelings, the sensation would change. So maybe the tightness in my throat would get less and the burning in my solar plexus would kind of radiate down into my belly, or it would, you know, turn into like pain under my shoulder blade, or it would go away altogether and instead I would have tension in my neck, or sometimes it would just go away altogether. I mean, I actually experienced feeling all the feelings, getting into my body, and then feeling them just melt away. Like that happened too. So it was different every time. But that is how I healed anxiety. Really, it is. And that's a nervous system practice as well. Like I wasn't using the vocabulary of like nervous system practice whenever I was doing it. But now that I look back and I know what I was doing, it was nervous system work. I was meeting my body where it was in the fear and then not reacting to the fear. So that was absolutely nervous system work. Then in 2021, I came across a book by Alan Gordon called The Way Out. And this is a revolutionary, scientifically proven approach to healing chronic pain. And as I was reading this book, I got to the chapter five, that's called Somatic Tracking. And as I was reading about somatic tracking, I was like, holy shit, this is exactly what I was doing when I was in the magic school bus, going into the tension in my throat and the flutters in my chest and the hot nausea in my solar plexus. This is what I was actually doing. So here's what he says about somatic tracking. He says, the easiest way to explain somatic tracking is with an example. So I'm going to recount a somatic tracking exercise I did with a patient named Janet. I'll take breaks along the way to describe what we did and why. Janet had chronic back pain that had resisted all medical treatments. She'd tried physical therapy, chiropractic adjustments, and steroid injections, but nothing helped. In our first session together, I explained how the brain can misinterpret safe signals from the body as if they were dangerous ones. After reviewing the evidence, we determined that Janet had neuroplastic pain. Once Janet understood the source of her pain, she was ready for somatic tracking. And then, so he says to her, I know you have pain in your lower back. Does it hurt right now? And Janet says, yes. And then he says, okay, that's actually a good thing because we want to explore your pain. So I'd like you to get comfortable. Close your eyes, bring your attention to your back. All we're doing is exploring the sensation of pain in your back. You don't need to get rid of the pain. You don't need to change it. You just need to absorb it. How would you describe the quality of the sensation? Is it a tightness, a tingling, a warm feeling? And Janet said, it's a tight feeling and it's kind of pulsing. So going back to the explanation, Alan Gordon says, the first component of somatic tracking is mindfulness. Many people associate mindfulness with meditation or Eastern philosophy, but it's actually quite simple. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who helped popularize mindfulness in the West, defines it as paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. And that is exactly what Janet is doing here. She's paying attention to her pain, but with no agenda and no judgment. It's not complicated, but it's very powerful. When you pay attention to your pain mindfully, you're observing it without fear. Neuroscientists have shown that mindfulness increases feelings of safety by deactivating the brain's fear circuits. This disrupts the pain-fear cycle and helps your brain interpret signals properly. So I want to go back to what he says right here is like, as you're paying attention to your pain mindfully, you're observing it without fear. You could take pain out of that sentence and you could insert literally anything. When you pay attention to your anxiety mindfully, you're observing it without fear. When you pay attention to your insomnia mindfully, you're observing it without fear. When you pay attention to your migraine mindfully, you're observing it without fear. It literally applies to anything. He's just specifically writing about chronic pain. So then he and Janet go on and they continue having their conversation in the book. So he says, as you explore this tight pulsing feeling in your back, remember there's nothing to fear here. Your brain is just overreacting to neutral, safe signals from your body. And Janet says, okay. And then he goes on to explain, our goal is to pay attention to the pain without fear, but that can be hard when we've feared the pain for so long. So again, insert any word that is a symptom or a sensation that you experience that you're afraid of. So our goal is to pay attention to the anxiety without fear. But that can be hard when we fear the anxiety for so long. The second component of somatic tracking is sending messages of safety to your brain. This technique, known as safety reappraisal, has been shown by scientists to significantly decrease fear. Here, I'm reminding Janet that her pain is not dangerous. There's nothing to fear. It's just a misunderstanding between her brain and her body. By reinforcing that the sensation is safe, she can start to clear up the misunderstanding. So then he says, what do you notice happening to the sensation in your back as you focus on it? Does it intensify or subside? Does it spread out or contract? Does it move around or stay exactly the same? Does the quality of the sensation change at all? And Janet responds, it's still pulsing, but it's spread out more. It's more diffuse now. And then he says, that's great. Remember, whatever happens to the sensation is okay because it's safe. So let it do what it's going to do. All you have to do is watch. It's like you're snorkeling or scuba diving and you're floating there and you see a school of beautiful fish. You're not trying to chase the fish. You're not trying to catch the fish. You're just calmly watching them. Your back is in the ocean and the sensations you're feeling are those fish. All you have to do is observe. And I'm just a friendly sea turtle swimming nearby. A friendly talking sea turtle. So paying attention with lightness is an important component of somatic tracking. And with lightness, it means you're not like watching it like a hawk. You're more just like, this is curious. Isn't it interesting that whenever I feel anxiety, I feel this tightness in my throat and this radiating nausea in my solar plexus? Isn't that so interesting that it shows up that way for me? Isn't that interesting? Just very curious, very open, not trying to watch it like a hawk, not trying to like catch it or, you know, hold on to it, just loosely feeling it. And then he says, you're just watching your back to see what happens. You're just an observer. These are completely safe sensations. Your brain may misinterpret them as pain sometimes, but they are safe. What do you notice happening in your back? And Janet says, it's not pulsing anymore. It's steadier and still more spread out. It hurts less than before. And then Alan says, that's great, but just remember that's not our goal. Whatever happens to the pain happens. You're just watching and feeling with lightness and curiosity. This reinforces to your brain that the sensation is safe. And then he finishes leading her through the session. So that's somatic tracking. I mean, I didn't have that terminology for it whenever I was doing it. The terminology didn't exist yet. I mean, it did in Alan's mind, I guess, because he was probably writing the book whenever I was going through this experience in my own life. But I came across this book in 2021. And then whenever I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this. This is exactly what I did to heal from anxiety. And it ended up being what I did whenever I was healing from insomnia as well. So you better believe that I have applied this very same practice to the ongoing chronic pain that I've had in my hip / low back / right psoas muscle that I'm still dealing with. I have been able to apply this practice to it, and at times I have experienced some relief from the pain. But again, that can't be my goal. I mean, of course, it's fine to not want to feel pain or to not want to feel anxiety. But honestly, we're in human bodies that are breaking down and we're getting closer to dying every day, right? So I'm not saying that it's unreasonable to expect to live a life without physical pain, but I am saying I think it is reasonable to have the understanding that as we get older, things don't work like they used to work when we were younger. And, you know, we do what we do in terms of taking care of ourselves, but at some point we have to release any control that we think we have and surrender and accept what is. And so whether or not the anxiety ever goes away, can you surrender and accept that it's there without fear? Whether or not the pain ever goes away, can you surrender and accept that it's there without fear? Can it be something that you live with instead of fighting against? And that's really hard, right? Like that takes a deep level of awareness and patience and a calm nervous system. But if your nervous system feels fear or threatened by the anxiety or the pain or the depression or whatever your symptoms are, then when anytime it comes up, you're always going to meet it with that resistance. You're going to fight against it. And the harder you fight, the more stuck you get. So I just wanted to share this about somatic tracking. I will link to this book, The Way Out. I have used this process of somatic tracking with a few of my clients as well. And we've done it for pain, but we've also done it for anxiety. And we've also done it for just a general ability to reconnect to the body and to get out of the head and to start feeling the sensations of the body without fear or without control. And I have put a brand new guided meditation in the membership area. If you've logged in and poked around recently, maybe you've seen it, but there's a new little tab in the same place where you access bonus episodes and access the recorded circle calls. There is a new tab that says guided meditations, and I added a guided meditation to the membership area for you that is called Feeling Not Fear. And I literally lead you through this process. So hopefully that's helpful. I have given this meditation to a couple of clients and they have found it helpful. So I hope you find it helpful. I hope you try it out. And that is one of the new perks that I'm working on adding regularly to your Circle membership is more guided meditations. So if you have a specific request for a type of guided meditation that you would find beneficial, then let me know. Send me a message or an email or post in the forum and let me know what type of guided meditation you're really hungry for at this time. And I would love to be able to meet that. So that's all I have to share with you today. This is a shorter episode. I'll link to the book in the show notes below for this episode. And I would love to know if any of you have ever tried a practice similar to this, maybe without knowing what it's called, or if you have read the book, The Way Out, I would love to hear your insights on it. And I hope that the rest of your January is beautiful and wonderful. And thank you for being part of the circle.